The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and is a critic of thoughts and intents of the heart. All Scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Open the word of truth this evening to Revelation chapter 9, verse 7. Revelation 9, 7. It is our custom to spend a few moments in silent prayer before we begin the study of the Word of God. You have a few moments of privacy, the option to rebound, the opportunity of shifting gears into strict academic discipline. Let us pray. It is our privilege, Heavenly Father, to fellowship in the Word, to have the opportunity of growing in grace. We pray now that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. The angelic conflict has extended into human history, and man was created to resolve the angelic conflict. This means that the millions and millions of fallen angels under the command of Satan seek to frustrate the plan of God in this regard. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are aware of the fact that God has a purpose for your life, and that life not only has purpose, but meaning and definition, and that the perfect plan of God is far greater than anything that Satan can throw against you. There are four great attacks upon mankind. The first one was in the antediluvian civilization and will never be repeated. It is the story of Genesis 6, of 2 Peter 2, of Jude 6, and 1 Peter 3:18 and following. It is the story of the sexual infiltration of the human race, the attempt to destroy true humanity before the flood, the attempt to hinder the first advent of Christ, the incarnation, and the hypostatic union, all of which was necessary for the accomplishment of our so great salvation. The second and third attacks are in process today and have been during the entire course of the post-diluvian civilization. These two attacks involve demon possession and demon influence. Demon possession, of course, are demons, fallen angels, penetrating the body of the unbeliever. The believer cannot be demon-possessed. His body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. The greatest of all attacks throughout all history until the middle of the tribulation, however, is demon influence. And demon influence is the function of Satan's fallen angels in the penetration of the soul and the personality of both believer and unbeliever in the cosmic system. There is, of course, a fourth category, which will not exist until the middle of the tribulation, and that is demons directly attacking members of the human race. At that point, demons will be visible in their attack, and they will do great violence, both through torture and killing, to members of the human race. But we must remember that demon possession is, again, the demon penetration of the human body. And that, of course, is not our direct problem, only indirectly. While demon influence, being the demon penetration of the human soul and personality, is very definitely a problem for believers. Both cases, of course, are impossible apart from human consent and the function of man's free will related to the cosmic system. We are still the products of our decisions, and when we make wrong decisions, those decisions are reflected in demon influence. Demon possession is a phenomenon then related to the unbeliever only in the cosmic system. Demon influence is a phenomenon involving both believer and unbeliever in the cosmic system. At the end of the tribulation, mankind in the cosmic system will become the target for the greatest demon attack in history, an attack without precedent. Demons are capable of two categories of violence. One category exists today. The other category is reserved for the passage we are studying. The first is direct or indirect violence. Indirect violence is that in which a demon must use another human being as the vehicle for the expression of his violence. This is the attack of man against man. This is a demon-possessed person or a person under demon influence attacking or doing violence to another member of the human race. And this category is operational today and has been observed historically many times. All terrorism, criminal activity, the function of many religious cults, the function of such organizations as the KGB are the result of either demon influence or demon possession. In the case of idolatry, certain religious activities are definitely the result of the indirect violence caused by demons. The perfect illustration is the Tughs, who functioned in the last century in India. And in their worship of Kali, they murdered literally millions of Indians. They were finally broken up by one very courageous Englishman toward the turn of the century. But the Tughs, or thugs as you would call them, the Tughs were a demon-possessed organization. And since the demons penetrated the bodies of the Tughs, they did terrible violence to many, many thousands of people. Or the rise of Adolf Hitler, or the Jones cult. These are illustrations of demon possession producing violence. Much more common, however, is demon influence from the cosmic system, which is a source of most violence and criminality at the present. And this would include acts of hatred, anger, any form of arrogance that would be so involved. Criminal activity, acts of terrorism, such as the Moros, were probably demon possession. While much of the terrorism today is demon influence, such as the Bader-Meinhof gang in Germany or the Red Brigade in Italy or other terrorist organizations. The support of third world terrorism by the World Council of Churches is demon influence function in the cosmic system. And it has produced much violence and caused the loss of countries where men went in and worked hard over many generations. I refer, of course, to countries like Rhodesia. To me, there is no such thing as Zimbabwe. It is Rhodesia. Believer and unbeliever, apart from perception of doctrine and fellowship with God in the divine dynasphere, are vulnerable to cosmic involvement and therefore demon influence. The direct form of violence does not exist today, but we are in the process of studying it in Revelation chapter 9. Direct violence from demons is a phenomenon reserved for the end of the tribulation. This category of violence uses visible demon armies in direct attack against Homo sapien. The demon attacking force includes the three assault armies, which we have summarized and have begun to note in detail. The first demon assault army is commanded by Abaddon and comes from the abyss. The second demon assault army is an army group composed of four armies commanded by four demon generals coming from the Euphrates. The third demon assault army we will study in Revelation 12. It is under the direct command of Satan. It is located in heaven at the present time. It is Satan's elite guard. Now, this morning we had been studying the decisions from a position of weakness that result from demon influence. The origin of position of weakness is fourfold. Primarily, it is the cosmic system with its two cosmic dynaspheres. Cosmic one, which is grieving the Spirit. Cosmic two, which is quenching the Holy Spirit. There is also a byproduct from the cosmic system and a second origin of making decisions from a position of weakness. That would be arrogance plus ignorance. If you are in the cosmic system and therefore have any degree of arrogance, which you would, then ignorance becomes the basis for making decisions from a position of weakness. Then there is thirdly the lust pattern of mankind, a modus operandi related to the old sin nature. And finally, there are the pressures of life, which cause people to make decisions from a position of weakness. The concept of decision from a position of weakness is relatively simple. All decisions made in the cosmic system are decisions made from a position of weakness rather than a position of strength. All decisions to enter the cosmic system are decisions made from a position of weakness. Only two decisions can be made in the cosmic system from a position of strength. That's where we closed out this morning. The first is the decision of the unbeliever to receive Jesus Christ as his personal Savior. The second is the decision of the believer in the cosmic system to rebound, to get out of the cosmic system, to recover his fellowship with God. Decisions made in the divine dynasphere are decisions made from a position of strength. Decisions made from the cosmic system are decisions made from a position of weakness. And since man is the product of his own decisions, it is imperative that he makes good decisions rather than bad decisions. Good decisions are made from a position of strength. Bad decisions are made from a position of weakness. The target for attack of demon assault armies at the end of the tribulation is the personnel living in the cosmic system. Two categories of mankind live in the cosmic system, believers and unbelievers. They are the victims of violence from demon assault armies because they have made many decisions from a position of weakness. And therefore, they suffer and die from the attacks of the first and second demon assault armies because they have made their decisions in that way, from a position of weakness. The rationale of Satan in destroying his own servants in the cosmic system is fairly obvious. He is cast out of heaven in the middle of the tribulation. He is confined to the earth, which he rules. He commutes right now, but he rules the earth from that standpoint. He is in heaven a great deal of the time. Once he is cast out of heaven and is confined only to the earth, he makes a shambles out of the earth before the second advent of Christ. Satan cannot use losers once he becomes a loser himself. And since Satan cannot use losers who made decisions from a position of weakness, he then discards them in the very violent manner we are studying. Satan is losing, and that will become obvious to him in the tribulation, and he will not carry losers in his organization. Satan is arrogant, and therefore destroys his own servants. Now, of course, there's an application to us in contemporary history. Every day, thousands and thousands and thousands of believers are making hundreds of thousands of decisions from a position of weakness. This makes you, if you are so involved, vulnerable to demon influence. Many political decisions, most of them, are made from a position of weakness. Like people who decided for a nuclear freeze. That's a decision made from a position of weakness. Anti-gun legislation is a decision made from a position of weakness. The abolition of capital punishment is a decision, a political decision, made from a position of weakness. Taxing industry out of existence is a decision, a political decision, made from a position of weakness. When the government has passed, the Congress passed laws with regard to the windfall profit tax, that was a decision made from a position of weakness. any government decision which destroys free enterprise or permits bureaucratic interference is a decision from a position of weakness. Through cosmic arrogance and ignorance, labor unions make decisions from a position of weakness. They make decisions to strike in time of depression and economic recession. And while no one will admit it in this country, the reason the Japs are outproducing it is because of our labor unions. And yet they seek to blame everyone else but themselves. And that is nothing more than arrogance. Lust for money and benefits became a position of weakness on the part of the pro football players. They made a decision to strike, and they made that decision from a position of weakness. Well, let's change a little bit. Seem to be getting a little vibration started here. Let's try this one. Lust for women forms a position of weakness. To love a woman is a position of strength. To lust for a woman is a position of weakness. And from that comes the decision from the position of weakness to fornicate, to rape, and so on. Pressure from starvation forms a position of weakness and causes the decision to steal. Drug addiction forms a position of weakness for the decision to steal, to commit other crimes, to support the habit. The pressure of getting behind in a football game leads to decisions from a position of weakness, like abandoning the game plan and starting passing on every down till you're intercepted two or three times and touchdowns are made. The arrogance of winning a football game leads to a decision from a position of weakness to become conservative on offense, to abandon the flexibility of the game plan. This happened, as we noted this morning, to the University of Houston when they were defeating Notre Dame in the Cotton Bowl and then lost the game. The problem of ignorance and arrogance is often seen in the field of medicine, where people who are not medical doctors are in a state of ignorance, where a person has a disease which can only be cured by medication prescribed by a medical doctor. But the person makes a decision from a position of weakness to try to cure the disease through vitamins and health diets and things of this sort, or grandma's special remedy. If the person made the decision to take the medication, it would be a decision from a position of strength. A person is totally ignorant of the commodity market, and that's most of us. To be ignorant of the function of the commodity market and to make decisions to enter the commodity market, that would be a decision from a position of weakness, because in the commodity market, with ignorance and money, you can lose your shirt. A person knows nothing about poker, so he makes a decision from a position of weakness to get into a poker game with four professional gamblers. A person decides to leave his job without having another job, so he makes a decision from a position of weakness to quit. A person decides from a position of weakness to drive an automobile while intoxicated, with the result that he has a terrible accident and years of problems from it, all putting him in a greater position of weakness. Now, these contemporary illustrations fall into the same pattern established by residents of the cosmic system in the tribulation. Both believers and unbelievers make decisions to live in the cosmic system and to remain there. And these decisions are made from a position of weakness, and they result in one of the most horrible experiences of history. Violent attacks by demon assault armies, resulting in both torture and death. As a matter of fact, Revelation 9:6, the verse we studied this morning, describes how they feel about it. Consequently, men, homo sapien, believers and unbelievers living in the cosmic system, making decisions from a position of weakness in those days, in the last half of the tribulation, will seek death, but they will not find it. And they will have an intense desire to die, but death will elude them. Now, it's very difficult for people to really understand all that is involved in demon influence. Because you see, so many Christians in their thinking are under demon influence today. Perhaps a reminder of some of the gates of Cosmic Two of the satanic system will help us to appreciate the situation. Cosmic One, of course, are the 26 gates of interlocking systems of arrogance. I'm about to revise that, may change up those gates a bit. But we are going to look, and by the way, that's the command to grieve not the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit, that's enter gate one of the divine dynasphere. Walk by means of the Spirit, that's the function of the eight gates of the divine dynasphere. Grieve not the Spirit, that is the believer living in Cosmic One. Quench not the Spirit, that's the believer living in Cosmic Two with its nine gates of interlocking systems of hatred. Now let's take a look at Cosmic Two, because more than anything else, perhaps, apart from arrogance, it helps us to understand demon influence and decisions made from a position of weakness. Gate one of Cosmic Two is negative volition. All negative volition places the believer in a position of weakness. God consciousness, of course, is the point at which this becomes an issue in the life of any individual. God consciousness, of course, is the point at which the individual becomes aware of the existence of God and therefore becomes accountable for his relationship with God. Since he has free will, since he has two frontal lobes, he has an awareness through this function of God's existence. Basically, there are five ways in which we become aware of the existence of God and reach this point of accountability. Teleological thinking is the principle of thinking in terms of the universe and its structure. The structure of the universe demands a designer. Teleological thinking results in becoming God conscious. Cosmological thinking is the intuitive law of cause and effect, which demands the existence of God when you go far enough back. Order and arrangement in the universe demands a creator and a preserver. This is the subject of Colossians 1, 16 and 17. The universe cannot be its own cause. Ontological thinking is the human mind possessing an idea of the perfect and the absolute. And of course, such a being must exist for the perfect to exist. Beyond the relative is the absolute, which gives character or value to the relative. Anthropological thinking, man's soul possesses both volition and conscience with an urge to choose right over wrong. The structure of society is based on human recognition of virtue and truth, and this brings one to God consciousness. Theological thinking, God must exist because men universally believe in his existence. The subject of Jeremiah 29:13 or John 7:17. Therefore, heathen are heathen, not because they have never heard the gospel, but because they have been negative at the point of God consciousness, and perhaps in many cases, gospel hearing. The unbeliever enters gate one of Cosmic Two by negative volition at either God consciousness or gospel hearing or both, or the truth in between. All right, here is God consciousness. That's when you become aware of the existence of God. Here is gospel hearing. That's when the gospel is presented to you for the first time, second, third, and so on. In between, there is a principle by which you continue to have freedom to be evangelized. The laws of divine establishment, category one, truth. And therefore, the decision made from a position of weakness, I don't want to know God, results in rejection of establishment principles and the authority that God has ordained in them. and brings the person to gospel hearing with that same negative volition. Now the objects of the attack in the tribulation, the victims of the demon assault armies, are people who follow this pattern. They have entered gate one of cosmic one. They are in the cosmic system, or they are at gate one of cosmic two. And being in the cosmic system, they are under demon influence. Demons have penetrated their soul and personality, with the result that their thought pattern is changed. They have used their own free will to go negative at God consciousness. They have used their own free will to go negative toward the various systems of authority in the laws of divine establishment. And when they hear the gospel, as they will many times in the tribulation, they will hear it from the 144,000 Jewish evangelists. They will hear it from the great TV program of Moses and Elijah. They will hear it through witnessing. They will hear it through the dynamics of the spiritual life of certain believers who will be martyred. We have already studied the tribulational martyrs. They will hear it and understand it from angelic creatures, elect angels, from the College of Heralds, who will present it at the end of the tribulation. Yet they remain negative, and their own decision produces demon influence. Now we're talking about believers here. With unbelievers, it can be demon influence and demon possession. But with believers, it can only be demon influence. This negative volition of gate one, cosmic two, which results in demon influence, is mentioned in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. And it describes us today in this status. It also describes tribulational believers and unbelievers, and that terrible time when the demon armies will literally attack these people. Romans 1:18 puts it this way: "For the wrath from God is being revealed from heaven against all non-godliness," negative volition and God consciousness, "and the unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth through unrighteousness. Because what is known about God is revealed in them," God consciousness, "for God has revealed it to them. If anyone has a normal brain, he reaches God consciousness. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible attributes are clearly perceived, being perspicuous through the things that are created, both his eternal power and divine nature, so that no one has an excuse," or a literal translation, "so that they are without excuse. But when they knew God, they did not honor God, nor did they feel obligated to thank him. In fact, as a result of their negative volition, they received worthless ideas." Worthless ideas come from negative volition, by which one enters gate one of cosmic two. And then the worthless ideas are simply demon influence as one functions at the various gates. This is especially gate seven of cosmic two. "And their evil deliberations and their ignorant right lobe receive darkness. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools." Gate 7, cosmic 2. "And they exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible mankind, birds, quadrupeds, and reptiles." That's gate 5 of cosmic 2. And that is very clearly idolatry, and therefore demon possession. "Therefore God delivered them over to the lusts of their right lobes, to immoral status," gate 8 of cosmic 2, "so that their bodies might be degraded among themselves." They exchanged the truth of God for a lie. That is a definition of demon influence, exchanging divine truth for a lie. That is the way in which one enters gate one of cosmic two. For the believer, that's quenching the Holy Spirit. And for the unbeliever, it is rejection of the gospel. They exchange the truth of God for a lie. They both worship and serve the creature, Satan, rather than the Creator, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever. This is the beginning of demon influence. That gospel hearing, of course, they go negative. They reject the Lord Jesus Christ. A description of them would be found in 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the word of the cross, the teaching of the gospel, is to those who perish foolishness. That is demon influence. To those who are saved, however, it is the power of God. In 2 Corinthians 4:3 and 4. But if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who perish, in whom the god of this world, Satan, has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, demon influence, that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glorious of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. The same thing is found in 2 Peter 2:20 through 22. For if after having escaped the defilement of the cosmic system by the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them, cosmic one and cosmic two, and are overcome, that is demon influence, the latter state has become worse than the first. The latter state is demon influence. The first state was God consciousness. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn away from the holy mandate. That's the mandate to believe in Christ. It has happened, therefore, to them according to the true proverb, quotation from Proverbs 26:1. They are the dog who returns to his vomit. That is a description of demon influence. When the unbeliever rejects the gospel, he enters gate one of cosmic two. The believer's rejection of Bible doctrine would also be another way of someone entering cosmic two. 2 Corinthians 6:11 and 12 is a description of that. Emotional arrogance from cosmic one results in entering gate one of cosmic two. O you Corinthians, our mouth is open to you, teaching of doctrine. Our right lobe is enlarged. You have to know doctrine to teach it. You are not hindered from learning doctrine by us, pastors like Paul, but you are hindered by your own emotions. In Romans 16, 17 and 18, the same principle of demon influence of believers in the cosmic system. Now I urge you, brethren, be alert for those who are causing dissensions and apostasies. Believers in the cosmic system. Apostasies contrary to doctrine which you have learned. In fact, be separating from them. Otherwise, you see, you're going to become a victim of cosmic evangelism. For such believers do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own emotions. Serving themselves, and by smooth and flattering speeches, they deceive the right lobes of the unsuspecting. That is a passage on cosmic evangelism, and it deals with the result which is demon influence. When believers live in the cosmic system, they are under demon influence, not demon possession. Demon possession is the demon penetrating the body. Demon influence is the demon penetrating the soul and the personality. So there are many passages like Philippians 3:18 and 19, for many believers keep walking in the cosmic system, concerning whom I have communicated to you many times, and now continue communicating, even though weeping. They, believers in the cosmic system, are the enemies of the cross of Christ. They haven't lost their salvation, but they are under demon influence. This is the category of believer who will be attacked by the demon assault armies in the tribulation. Of course, the unbelievers are also included. What happens to the believer under demon influence, whose termination is destruction, the sin unto death, whose God is his emotion, gate 19 of cosmic one, the arrogance of emotion, whose fame is by means of dishonor, advancement in life through cosmic two, who keeps on thinking about earthly things, which would be the thinking of demon influence, gate four, cosmic panaceas, gate seven, academic speculation. So gate one is one of the two ways in which one enters cosmic two. Gate two is simply the result of it all, and that would be called cosmic degeneration. This, of course, is demon influence being parlayed into degeneration, such as in Romans 1:24 through 27. Therefore, God delivered them over to the lusts of their right lobes, to an immoral status, that their bodies might be degraded among themselves. In other words, here is the beginning of making decisions from a position of weakness. They who exchange the doctrines of God for a lie, that's demon influence. They both worship and serve the creature, Satan, rather than the Creator, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever. Because of this, now this is decisions from a position of weakness. Because of this, God delivered them over to passions of dishonor. For not only their females exchange the normal function of sex for that which is contrary to the natural function of sex, that would be lesbianism, but also in the same manner, even the males, homosexuals, after they had abandoned the normal sexual function of the females, became inflamed with sexual desire in their lust toward each other. Lust is one of the sources of in making decisions from a position of weakness. Males with males accomplishing the perverted act of sex and receiving back in themselves that judgment of their perversion, which was inevitable. So cosmic two is simply the result of cosmic one. That is, the gate one is simply the source of the function of gate two. And degeneration in society simply is a manifestation of the fact that the maximum number of people in society, believers and unbelievers, are under demon influence. Again, believers cannot be demon possessed, only unbelievers in the cosmic system. Gate three then leads to the problem which causes it all. This is that interim principle, the principle between God consciousness and gospel hearing. They reject the laws of divine establishment designed for the freedom and the perpetuation of the human race. Therefore, gate three of cosmic two is the anti-establishment gate. And every decision directed toward anti-establishment is a decision from a position of weakness. For example, 2 Timothy 3, 2-7. For men will be lovers of self. That's involvement in cosmic one. That becomes demon influence. Lovers of money, braggarts, arrogant, slanderous. Now listen carefully. Disobedient to parents. Sociology is still trying to explain what has happened to the last few generations. The disregard for parents, which is the most basic authority in life and the only system of authority that can launch you into life under the principle of humility and capacity for life. Disobedient to parents, ungrateful. This is what we studied on Thanksgiving morning. Anti-establishment persons. All degeneracy in society. All antagonism toward the basic systems of authority in society become a part of demon influence. There must be a breakdown of the laws of divine establishment before Satan can have his way with Homo sapien on planet Earth. Verse 3 says, no capacity for love. Implacable. That's gate one, cosmic one. Malicious gossips. Without self-discipline. They are minus enforced or genuine humility. Brutal. Haters of good. Treacherous, thoughtless, having become conceited, cosmic one influence, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. See, if you turn it around, you have the believer in the divine dynasphere. He's a lover of God and therefore can enjoy his pleasure. But when you put pleasure before God, then you have gate three of cosmic two. And at the same time, you have decisions from a position of weakness, demon influence. Having a form of godliness, often religious. Come to Bible class. Go through the motions. Although they have denied its power. The power is the divine dynasphere. And they are not in the divine dynasphere. Decisions made in the divine dynasphere are decisions made from a position of power. A position of strength. But decisions made in the cosmic system are decisions made from a position of weakness. They have denied its power. Also avoid such men as these, because they are cosmic evangelists. For among them are they who creep into homes, local churches actually. They creep into churches and captivate, guess who they always hook? Silly women, weighed down with sins, led on by various categories of lust. Anytime anyone makes a decision from a position of lust, they have made a decision from a position of weakness. Always learning false doctrine, that's demon influence, gate 7. And so they are never able to come to a true knowledge of epinosis doctrine. Therefore, of course, gate 3 is hatred of establishment. And this, of course, is brought out in Romans 1, 28 through 32. They hate the police officer. When you find hippies, when you find these long-haired jackasses, you are looking at people who are anti-establishment. They have rejected the authority of parents. They reject the authority of law and order. They reject the authority of the police officer. They refuse to register for the draft. They reject every form of human authority. Romans 1:28 says, "And just as they did not see fit to have God in their knowledge any longer, God delivered them over to a depraved mind." The depraved mind is demon influence, to do those things which are not proper. Now, what do believers and unbelievers in cosmic 2 do? They are filled with unrighteousness, greed, malice, full of jealousy. Jealousy is a form of arrogance, murder, dissension, strife, discord, deceit, evil motivation. And from that they have become gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, that means rejection of authority, arrogant, involved in cosmic one, boastful inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, ignorant ones without understanding, lacking honor and integrity, unloving, implacable. And although they know the ordinance of God, the laws of divine establishment, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only are they doing the same things, but they give hearty approval to others who practice them. Gate 4 then shows you the other side of demon influence. Not only is there degeneracy in society, but there is also the concept of arrogance related to cosmic panaceas. Arrogant, self-righteous people are always trying to improve everyone in their periphery. This is seeking the solutions to life apart from divine truth in its three categories. This gate rejects the laws of divine establishment with the result that there is a substitution of human viewpoint solutions to life. Hence, the satanic administration of planet Earth. Instead of freedom, they demand equality. But equality can only be achieved with the destruction of freedom. Equality means slavery. Inequality is a sign of freedom. Equality demands the full mobilization of the envy and jealousy of those under demon influence. Hence, to promote equality, taxation of the successful, confiscation of property, nationalization of industry, and therefore demon influence always advocates the destruction of the economic results of the laws of divine establishment. The identity of the human being must be characterized by sameness, says demon influence. We must all be the same. No one must appear better than anyone else. No one must appear superior to everyone else. There must be a standardization of life. Fundies are often guilty of this, where they have no doctrine. They want to standardize everyone. They want to take out a little cookie cutter and go boom, 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 and make everyone exactly the same. Everyone must have the same dress, the same food, the same way of life, the same race, the same classification. That's what they try to accomplish in communism. And the Chi-Coms are discovering that it's quite a problem. Cosmic panaceas lean toward big government and little people. The citizen is the slave of the state instead of the state being the servant of the people. Hence, to be different becomes a crime in the eyes of the state. That is demon influence in thinking. The federal government must not permit autonomous developments. Therefore, there must be the regulation and destruction of private enterprise, the confiscation of private property, the redistribution of wealth. This gate includes utopianism, the nihilistic arrogance of recreating and refashioning all forms of human existence. The cosmic panaceas lead to violence, terrorism, revolution under the principle of social engineering, and therefore always demon influence justifies violence in the name of social engineering, the application of what is false to life. The state must train the children to be oriented to the dictates of the state rather than the authority of their parents. In other words, a total rejection of freedom and authority in the function of the laws of divine establishment. They ignore the fact that without freedom, you cannot have a destiny. And without authority, everyone cannot have freedom. And therefore, cosmic panaceas attack both freedom and authority in the laws of divine establishment. And that is a brief idea of what demon influence is in that category. Gate 5 is the religious gate. Religion is Satan's counterfeit of the plan of God for believer and unbeliever. Religion is a part of Satan's policy of evil. Again, we must always note that Christianity is not a religion, for in a religion, man, by man's efforts, seeks to gain the approbation of God or what he has set up as God. In Christianity, man is related to God through faith in Christ, and therefore God provides the blessing. Hence, in religion, man seeks God through his personal merit and works. In Christianity, God seeks man totally apart from works in grace. Paul describes religious leaders in that fashion in 2 Corinthians 11 when he says in verse 13, such men are false apostles. They are deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles for Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. Or in 2 Timothy 3, verse 7, always learning false doctrine, never able to come to a knowledge of true doctrine. And then in verse 8, just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, also these religious types, demon influence, oppose doctrine. They are men of depraved mind, disqualified from blessing with regard to the doctrine they have rejected. But they will not get very far, for their lack of common sense will be obvious to all, as also that opposition of those two, Jannes and Jambres, came to be. So there are many passages which tell us all about the concept of demon influence. Gate 6 is actually the demonism gate. This is the function of fallen angels under the command of Satan. In the case of unbelievers, to penetrate the body. In the case of believers, to influence the thinking, demon influence. The penetration of the frontal lobes of the soul. The penetration of the personality. That's why 1 Timothy 4:1 puts it this way. But that same Holy Spirit, who vindicated the incarnate Christ, explicitly communicates that in latter periods of time, some believers will become apostate from doctrine, paying attention to deceitful spirits and concentrating on doctrines of demons. These are the victims of these demon assault armies at the end of the tribulation. Paying attention or concentrating on deceitful spirits, that would be demon possession for the unbeliever. And concentrating on doctrines of demons, that would be the demon influence on believers and unbelievers as well. Satan is called the prince or the ruler of demons in Matthew 9:34, Mark 3:22, Luke 11:15. And therefore the admonition of Ephesians 6:10 and 12 is very important for believers to avoid that demon influence. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 20 and 21, we actually have the sacrifice to demons mention. Things which Gentiles sacrifice to demons and not to God. I do not want you to become a sharer in demons. That is, participate in their viewpoint. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord, that's the communion table, and the cup of demons. The believer who is under demon influence in the cosmic system is partaking of the devil's communion table. He is influenced in his thinking by the satanic viewpoint. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. To drink the cup of the Lord, you have to be in the divine dynasphere. To drink the cup of demons, you have to be in the cosmic system. And while a demon cannot possess or penetrate the body of the believer, he can influence him to the point where his thinking is totally divorced from the divine viewpoint. Gate 7 is the area for those who are suffering from academic arrogance. It is anthropocentric academic speculation. It is described in 2 John 9. Everyone who advances in knowledge out of bounds and does not remain in the field of play. The field of play is the divine dynasphere. Out of bounds is the cosmic system. By means of the doctrine of Christ does not have a relationship with God. He who remains with doctrine, that is inside the divine dynasphere, this one has a close relationship with both the Father and the Son. So in the field of academic speculation, there is the whole concept of all of the philosophical attitudes, psychological attitudes of human viewpoint. We have already studied gate 8, which is the attack of the old sin nature, which each one of us possesses. Gate 9 is the evil policy of Satan. We do not have time to develop it. We merely use this as the opportunity to examine the principle of demon influence. When believers are trapped in the cosmic system, they are under demon influence. That brings us now to verse 7. And in verses 7 through 9, we have the locust description of the first demon assault army. The corrected translation of verse 7 sounds like this. Now the appearance of the locust demon was like cavalry horses, which had been prepared for warfare, and on their heads, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces like the faces of men. Repeat the corrected translation because it is not necessary to exegete this verse. The appearance of the locust demon was like cavalry horses, which had been prepared for warfare. And on their heads, as it were, crowns like gold. And their faces like the faces of men. Three factors are found in this verse. First, for battle, the locust demons of the first assault army are described in terms of cavalry. That means they had mobility, firepower, and shock. They will be able to cover the entire world with their torture of 5 months. Secondly, they have a military insignia, what we call a patch worn on the uniform. Their patch is like a gold crown. It isn't a gold crown. Please notice the word like. It is a comparative word. It is the Greek word hos, H-O-S. They don't have gold crowns. They have a patch which has a gold crown on it. Just like, for example, the 101st Airborne has a patch, a screaming eagle in a dive. And some have called it the puking lizard. There is, of course, the 24th Infantry Division. Their patch is Tropical Lightning. Some call it the Electric Strawberry. All of the military patches have great significance to the units involved. And this demon assault army has an actual army patch. It is a gold crown. And, of course, it implies that they think they are a victorious army. They're getting ready for it right now. The third thing in this passage is the appearance of the demons. They have faces of men, indicating the fact that demons do appear as men and have greater intelligence. They do have, however, greater intelligence and adaptability. Now, the last time demons appeared as men was in the 6th chapter of Genesis. And from that time until the middle of the tribulation, there is no such appearance. Demons today are invisible. But these demon armies, which will be visible in the future, are now incarcerated. They have their own barracks, as we have noted. The crowns, like gold, again, are like an army patch worn on the shoulder, a divisional patch, a corps patch, an army patch. The significance of the patch is victory. And this first demon assault army comes out of the abyss shouting victory. And for this demon army, it is a false victory, since the only combat victory is against those members of the human race who during the tribulation reside in the cosmic system as Satan's minions. And to win a victory over believers and unbelievers who have a profile of making bad decisions, and decisions from a position of weakness, isn't really much of a victory. Hence, their only victory is against Satan's human servants. And since elect angels appear as men, it is not surprising that demons do also. According to the next verse, these men are very, very handsome. They are attractive as demons, as the demons in Genesis 6 were attractive. They are very handsome and very attractive. In verse 8 then, we note the physical beauty and the power of the demons. And we will see something of their physical beauty we want to develop. We want to spend a lot of time on they have hair like women. Now, to me, that's not beauty. The shorter the hair on the man, the better he looks. But to them, that's beauty. And to the people of the world at that time, that's beauty. And so, since we want to spend a great deal of time on demon beauty, we'll take up the demon beauty parlor on Tuesday night. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, we dedicate the closing moments of our study this evening to those of you who are here without Christ, without hope, without eternal life. We want you to know that Jesus Christ had you personally in mind when he went to the cross. And every sin you have ever committed, past, present, or future, has been imputed to him and judged. There is no such thing as a human sin that was not judged at the cross. Therefore, salvation, eternal salvation, is open to every member of the human race. It is simply a function of your human volition. But it must be human volition in a non-meritorious way. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can make a decision right now to have eternal life. The decision is faith in Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Faith is a non-meritorious decision. The object of faith has the merit, and the object of faith and salvation is the only Savior, Jesus Christ, the one who went to the cross as our substitute. And where we should have been judged for our sins, he was judged in our place, so that we can have eternal salvation. The door of salvation is open. You walk through that door by faith in Christ. That is a decision you can make right now. And since it is a grace decision, it is a decision made from a position of strength. All grace decisions are made from a position of strength. That is the first grace decision. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You can believe in Jesus Christ right where you sit, right now, and have eternal life. That is the option open to you as we close our service this evening. Your attitude toward Christ determines your eternal future. Now, Father, challenge us by the tremendous concept in the Word of demon influence and the place, the locale of it, and the mechanics of it, and help us, therefore, to realize the importance of the use of our volition in making all of our decisions from a position of strength and utilizing the tremendous logistical grace provisions to fulfill the very purpose for which we remain in this life and are sustained by Thee. Now may God the Holy Spirit therefore challenge us. And now unto Him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. Amen.